Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I got a Thai massage last night. Have you ever gotten a Thai massage? The difference between Thai massage and a regular massage is they add in stretches and they can walk on you. Which walking on my back is amazing because it's the body's weight. It's the full body's weight on your sore muscles. So it really gets out any knots you might have. But today I'm like sore from the massage, or maybe it's body pump. I don't know, because I did body pump yesterday too, followed by swimming. So when I have a day off, I just need to de-stress and go to body pump. I know I talk about this all the time. But I'm looking back at the last couple weeks. I try and record when I have time, and I haven't had a lot of time. When I have a moment, I record, so that way I actually have episodes. Otherwise, looking back, everything's this big blur. And that's kind of what it feels like now, because the last couple weeks, I haven't recorded. So first of all, a good friend of mine came to visit. Her name is Beth. We did the episode together. She was my roommate in New Jersey, and we're still friends, you know, 25 years later. And I have maybe like 6 friends total. We're still good friends and we're still in touch. So she came to visit me. We had a Brazilian barbecue. So Rodolfo invited some of his friends. We sat outside on the patio and just cooked meat, basically. And we had a lot of discussions and it was fun, you know, and the next day we took a stroll downtown. We went to the beach. Like, we did a few things, even though I had to still work. And I had one day off, and we went kayaking early in the morning, which was really nice. It was on the bay opposite from Mission Beach. So there's the beach, and then on the other side of that, there's this really big bay area. And you can kayak, sail, swim. It's really, really nice. So we went early. Well, technically, I woke her up with my protein shake because I have this blender. And I just like having a protein shake in the morning because I don't always feel like eating early in the morning. So I started a protein shake, but it was also time to get up. So I'm like, okay, I'll use the blender, even though maybe that wasn't the nicest way to wake somebody up with a blender. Okay, I kind of understood that later. Sometimes I'm kind of rough. maybe that fits into being German, being a chef. I don't know. She said I could have woken her up in a nicer way, which, looking back, okay, she's not wrong. But we went kayaking and it was really beautiful. And only because we went early, it was not packed. I just want to say. But yes, I could have woken her up in a nicer way. So she came to visit for a few days. Well, the next day I had a farmer's market, which takes all the energy out of me because I wake up at 4 and I go to bed at like 11 after everything's done, you know, packing the car, unpacking, repacking, bringing everything inside. And then at the end of the night, cleaning everything up. And then the next day, bringing everything to storage again because I don't have space in the apartment. So I did the farmer's market, and then the next day my brother arrived with his family, and I hadn't seen my brother in 2 years. I have 2 older brothers. He has 2 kids, a niece and nephew, and they're 9 and 7. I went to visit them in Seattle 2 years ago when I first moved to Aspen, when I had my first seasonal break, and then I went to Seattle to visit them. So this is 2 years later. They came technically to visit theme parks, but also since I lived here, they made a trip down to San Diego. So we went to SeaWorld. The reason they wanted to go is for roller coasters. And I haven't been on a roller coaster in years. So the first thing we did when we went into SeaWorld, we went on a roller coaster called the Electric Eel. And Rodolfo came with us. And we've discovered that kind of Rodolfo is scared of heights. It didn't used to be a thing, but now he gets super nauseous and he can't really do things up high. Except he wanted to do this roller coaster because in the past he was fine with roller coasters. So we go on this roller coaster and it twists you up in all directions. and you go to the very top. It goes upside down and it stays there. It felt like 10 seconds, but I know it was probably like 2 seconds, but you're just hanging there upside down. And in my head, I'm like, it's okay. I can do this. It's going to be fine. You know, I'm just trying to get through it. And it was crazy. And I realized, I don't know if this is my thing anymore. You know, I like roller coasters, but I like those old wooden ones. You know, the ones that don't go upside down and twist in all areas. There was another roller coaster that we went on, but it didn't twist you in all areas. It's one of those where it's 4 seats in a row and it goes to the very top slowly. You know, when it goes slowly up and it makes this like sound and you get these butterflies in your stomach because you know what's coming. And it goes to the very edge and it stops. What felt like 10 seconds, but I'm sure it was 2 seconds. And it stops at the very edge and you see you're about to go straight down, like straight down. There's not even a curve in there. And I see it and I feel the wind against my face, you know, because you're up high. And in my head, I'm like, oh God. And I close my eyes and I'm like, I'm just gonna do this in the dark. I don't need to see going straight down, okay? It's like, it was so crazy that I didn't even have time to scream. You know, when something shocks you to the core, there's like no emotion. You're just frozen. That's how I was on this ride. Even though for a second, I do like that pull in my stomach, but then the next second, I'm like, no. I don't like it. But what I have noticed, do you remember going on roller coasters and rides in Six Flags? I don't know, maybe early 2000s. Everything was very rickety. You know, like you would go on a twisty ride and it would hurt your neck after. Like your head got jolted around and it wasn't pleasant. I remember it was on the ride called Ninja. I still remember it because I got this crazy headache after. And it wasn't nice. Like now, all the roller coasters are super smooth. Roller coasters have really advanced. I was really impressed with that. But just yesterday, I heard that, and it happens to be in Brazil, that a person got ejected from a roller coaster upside down or something. And that person fell out and actually survived. That's crazy. But when I was hanging upside down, I was thinking about these news stories that you hear. You know, on the news, when people die from roller coasters, they fall out being upside down, or the ride stops and the people are up there for hours upside down. Like, this is what I thought of when the ride went upside down. So it kind of sounds like cruelty. Like, why do I do this to myself? You know, like, this is what happens to me aging. I think of all the other things I've heard that have gone wrong. And in that moment when I'm on that ride, I'm like, please don't stay stuck. Like, please don't stay stuck. It's kind of crazy because you know what pain is. You know what horrible situations are. And you just hope to make it through, right? Like, meanwhile, my brother's kids were like, oh, let's go on it again. And I'm like, what? You know, like that's what it is being young. You just have fun and you can block out everything else. All these other things you've heard, all these other things you've been through. You know, when you've been through a lot of things, you think of everything that can go wrong. And that's kind of crazy, right? That we do that to ourselves. I mean, I think that's just part of living, is you have knowledge, you have stories, and you've made it to a certain age, you know, and you learn as you age, you learn as you live. So I guess that's just normal. But should we still live as if it's our like first day, as if we're 20? I mean, I don't know. I feel like maybe when it comes to roller coasters, but maybe not in certain life situations. Maybe it's just self-preservation. I don't know. But I just, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about it. Like, is that healthy to think of all the negative things when you just want to have fun. So we went to SeaWorld, and it was very hot that day, and we went on a couple of rides. One, it was this, like a boat, and you're swimming, like the boat is swimming in water, and it's like a tube. And at the end, it goes down like the river, and it splashes really, really hard around it. And that was super fun. And I didn't get wet. Maybe that's why it was so fun. But in the front and in the back, everyone got wet. It was just such a long day that toward the end, you know, I was over it. But my brother was doing great with the kids and kept going on roller coasters. You know, at a certain point, I was like, oh, I'm going to like look at certain animals, you know, and there was a beluga whale. There was a walrus. Like, I didn't know a walrus was like, what, 15,000 pounds or something crazy. I don't really like zoos. I don't really like, you know, aquariums, or it's not that I don't like them. It's just that most that I've been in, there's never enough space for the animals. And obviously, I mean, it's not the ocean. How much water can you put in an aquarium? You know, it's expensive. Like, you don't think about that, again, when you're younger. You don't think about the costs. Like, now I'm buying everything myself, right, for the farmer's market. I'm doing all these things for my business. And I see how expensive everything is. And obviously, I can't compare that to an aquarium. I mean, an aquarium is millions. And they have good facilities. But these animals are huge. You know, they need giant spaces. So technically, they shouldn't be in these tanks, because they just don't have that kind of life. At the same time, you know, most of these animals were now raised in these tanks, right? So they don't know anything else. You couldn't release them into the wild because they couldn't survive. So is it good or is it bad? Like, the good thing is we get to see these animals that we would never see. I've never seen a beluga whale. I've just heard of beluga whale caviar. Am I wrong? Like, right? I think I've heard of that. I don't know. But a beluga whale is completely white. I've never seen a completely pale whale. And that's what I saw. And it had this like soft, doughy, kind of fatty, I want to say pillow, like on its head, you know, between the eyes. And you could just grab it. Like, I couldn't grab it. But there were like special guests that paid more, and they could go into the tank area and touch the whales. And I was like, oh my God, I want to touch the whales. Like, I'm excited to see these animals, you know, because I would never get to see them. At the same time, I wish they had more space. It's good and bad. At the same time, we can't release them into the wild. They wouldn't survive. So we keep holding them in tanks, and then they breed and they have other babies, you know, and the cycle continues. It's the same with the pandas that were born in these zoos, you know, and now they're here in San Diego from China. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, you know, and there was this big whale show where we got splashed hard. I mean, these whales are so, so big. They have so much strength and so much force. With everything happening in the ocean, you know, with the overfishing and the nets, I mean, so many dolphins and so many of these other animals get caught in these giant nets because we're just overfishing. You know, there's so much like sadness just happening with animals globally. Maybe it's good to have these aquariums, you know, and I'm kind of in the fence. I'm kind of back and forth on it because it is amazing to see these animals and the strength they have, you know. They get trained. Like, is that good or bad to train whales and put on these shows? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm so like, I don't know how I feel about it. So yeah, we did that. But I noticed that SeaWorld employees are not happy. Like, when it comes to the animals, they're taken care of. They get their food. There's sea life staff, and they spend time with them. They scratch their bellies. They talk to them. You know, like, I saw a really good connection with the animals. There were people taking care of them and just out there with the animals. You know, that was really great to see. But then on the other hand, you see these crazy long lines, like for ice cream, right? There's one person and this long line. It's got to be like an hour line. This guy is scooping and he's looking like pissed. Like he is not happy. He's scooping that you've got these empty tubs or half full tubs of ice cream behind him and like giant tubs. I'm talking about like, I don't know, gallon tubs, like 5 gallon tubs behind him, just all over. Like the place is a mess. There's trash on the floor. He's scooping and then he has to go ring up the order. And you have to put on gloves, take off gloves every time, right? So when you're scooping, you put on gloves. When you're taking the order, you have to ring it up and then go back to putting on gloves, to scooping. You know, it's a health thing, right? It's a health code thing. But he was pissed. And every time he had to put on gloves because his hands were still sweaty, you know, he just took off the glove for that one interaction of ringing up the order. And then he had to go back to putting on the gloves and his hands were sweaty. So he was blowing into the glove, which I don't think you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to blow into gloves, but I get it, you know. And I was just looking at him being like, wow, like this sucks. But also from the customer side, it's terrible, right? But everyone wants ice cream so bad because it's so hot. This is the only ice cream stand. I didn't want ice cream, but Rodolfo did. And we waited in that line for 40 minutes. And I was just watching him and he was so miserable. So like the animals were taken care of. But the people, on the other hand, it was just like, you just had this vibe, like, we want your money, you know, just come into this park. We want your money. Look at the animals. But if you want food, you're going to have to wait like a while. Right. So it was the same for the ice cream. It was the same for restaurants. So we went to eat and there weren't a huge amount of options. Like most theme parks, it's like fast food. Right. Or you might have one or two restaurants. But even that was cafeteria style. Like you had one item, which was barbecue, right? You had ribs. Like everything in my life is major meat now. Like there's so much meat everywhere. But this was the one place that looked restaurant-y. Okay, but when you got there, there weren't enough employees. There was a backup on the line and you just grabbed a tray. But they only had one person to check you out to pay. So everyone was waiting. We had our food. We couldn't eat it because we hadn't paid. And we were in this kind of cafeteria line. But it was like $25 for one plate. And then you had to have additional fees for add-ons. You know, like dessert, which was like a brownie, right? But a brownie was like $8 for a square of brownie. Like just, I didn't want any of that. So it was $25 per plate. I don't know, we ended up spending like $150 or something for barbecue that wasn't that great, you know, but we were hungry and needed to eat something. And that's kind of like the feeling you get with food in theme parks, you know, and that was off-putting. Apparently, my brother said that Disneyland is a lot better. So anyway, the animal side was great. The roller coasters were good, but then the employee side, they were miserable. You know, and I wanted to see the sloths. When I was in Costa Rica, I visited Costa Rica a few years ago, and there were these sloths in the wild, you know, and it was amazing. I learned all this stuff about sloths, and they were so cute and adorable. And on the map, it said there was a sloth. You could go see it. So I'm trying to see where it is on the map. I go there, but I don't see anything. And it's about an hour before they close. They close at 5 p.m. I see this one area and it says you can pet an animal. And they had these variety of animals starting at $85. And then I see on there sloth. It was like $85. You know, you could go in there, but you have to make reservations. And I'm like, what? Like, I thought you could just go and see. But if you want these one-on-one encounters, you have to pay additionally. You know, so that's what I mean. Like, they just want your money. So everything was additional. So then I'm like, okay, fine. I don't want to do that, you know. And I even asked an employee where the sloth is. And he's like, I think it's that way. And then he just walked away. Like, there's no customer service. Terrible, terrible customer service. So SeaWorld, I'm sorry. But if you're listening, Something's going on with your employees. I think they need more money and you need to hire more. So they're saving on the employee side, but they're raking it in with entrance fees, which I get. Yes, I'm sure you have to have high entrance fees because all this sea life is expensive, right? They need a lot of food, a lot of fish, the aquariums, they need to be taken care of. So I'm okay paying if you take care of the animals, which they were doing, you know, but something else needs to happen customer service side. I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. We were done with SeaWorld, and then I asked my brother where he wants to eat. And I was thinking more, I've been eating a lot of Brazilian food lately, right? And I love Asian food, okay? Like pretty much when I was living anywhere else, my go-to is anything Asian. So like pho, ramen, sushi, you know, Vietnamese, which is part of pho, I know. And Thai, like anything Asian, I love. Okay, it's kind of like my go-to. And then you've got pizza, which I love too, like my own pizza or like a brick oven pizza, whatever. So in my head, I'm like, oh, I would love like some Thai food or something, you know. And then I show it to Rodolfo and he's like, why don't you ask your brother what he wants instead of deciding? And I'm like, okay, it's because, you know, Rodolfo's not a huge Asian food fan. Okay, like he's very loyal to the Brazilian food and that's just what he likes. So I asked my brother, where do you want to go? And I suggested the Thai. And he said, no, I've been eating a lot of Thai food. Let's do Brazilian. So my brother said, let's do Brazilian. And I'm like, okay. And Rodolfo's like, see, you got to ask your brother. So we go to this place. It's called, I think, Brazil by the Bay. Okay, and they have this market with all this Brazilian food that you can buy, which is where I got some things for the Brazilian barbecue. And next to that, they have a restaurant. So we go in, there's some sort of party going on. Turns out the football game is playing. It's like Brazil, it's Brazil versus Brazil, but it's not, you know, it's like their regional team playing against another regional team, I think. Okay, don't quote me on that. I just know there was a party going on, a lot of live music, like someone's dancing on the tables, you know, so we get in, we sit down, and in that moment, everything goes crazy. Like all of a sudden, you've got this loud music, you've got this woman in a skirt just dancing on the tables, and my brother, his wife, and my niece and nephew, you know, they're young, and they're just like, what the hell? What is this? You know, and Rodolfo is super happy. He just thought, like, this is crazy. He's like, I've been here a lot of times and I've never seen this. So it was very funny, but also very crazy. And this was after SeaWorld. So we were just hungry, you know, but it was very amusing that all this happened at the time that we were there. And every time the team scored, which wasn't a lot because it's soccer, right? It's football. So two is like a lot, right? Like most of the time they're just running back and forth. And, you know, and as soon as it gets to the goal, the opposite team is like super intense watching, you know. So as soon as there was a score, the drums started. There were like crazy drums, like live drums. And Rodolfo was like, if they're going to score again, there's going to be crazy drums. And they did. Their team won and everyone was super happy. You know, drums were going, music, more dancing on tables. Like, it's just so funny. The ambiance was very funny. There were good vibes, you know, and I had this cashew juice. I don't know if you've ever had cashew fruit, like the actual fruit. So I actually don't know much about it, but it's a flower. It's a flowering fruit. Like everything, there's a flower, right? Like even bananas. There's this giant flower in the center. You know, everything has to be pollinated, right? But we don't think about it. Or I didn't. You know, I didn't really think about cashews. So there's this big flower. The fruit, you know, the nuts, they grow from these flowers. Like, the, you know, obviously everything has to be pollinated. But I never had the actual fruit, you know. So I guess the nuts grow off of the fruit, Like, I guess I have to read more into cashews, but the actual fruit juice tasted delicious. I don't know, I can't even describe it. But if you ever see cashew juice, try it. It was so good. And apparently, you have to cook cashews. Like, the only reason you can eat them is you have to cook them, which I didn't know. Otherwise, I guess they're dangerous. Like, you cannot eat them. It's like poisonous to the body. So yeah, if you're interested about cashews, look into that. So I had this cashew juice and I had this fish dish, which I thought was pretty good. But I was more taken by all the appetizers, like traditional Brazilian appetizers like coxinha and this like special cheese. And anyway, so we had all the stuff and everybody ate and felt better. And then the next day I saw my brother and his family and we went to the beach. Like, I showed them the whole hotel where I work at, the Hotel Coronado. The sad thing is about Coronado Beach, and I think I've talked about this before, is it's been going on for 50 years and I've learned more about this, but the sewer in Mexico, in Tijuana, there's too much population now. Okay, so this sewer can only hold a certain amount. I think it was like for 10,000 people, something like that. But Tijuana has since gotten huge and the sewer system isn't cutting it for the size of the town. So there's leaking, there's a leakage, and these pipes have to be redone, and this whole thing. But of course, there's corruption, there's all this stuff that has been going on, and this has been happening for 50 years that they've had to fix this whole thing. So depending on the current, and it's usually in the summer, that some days are good, most days are bad, you cannot use the beach because the current brings over the sewer. And it's terrible, right? Some days you can go there depending on the current, but then you have to keep looking out for advisories. And when my brother was here, you couldn't go swimming, okay? But we walked along the beach and that was nice. And my nephew, he built a sandcastle, you know, and they went in with their feet, but obviously you couldn't swim in the area. But it's super sad, you know, because the sand is beautiful at Coronado. And most people don't know. Most people don't know about this, so they go swimming. Yes, I've gone swimming, but these advisories during this time were not there, you know? So obviously the current wasn't bad at that point. So it's better to go to the beaches further up north. Not LA, because LA has its own issues with the ocean. They have sewer from LA, like LA County. But if you go like further up, like Del Mar, up toward Huntington, like that area, but anything above it, you know, and then if you go further up, Northern California. So yeah, there's all these ocean challenges, which is super sad. The next day we went to a German restaurant, which I'd been to before with Rodolfo when I visited San Diego. And then I took my brother and his family. My sister-in-law ordered escargot, which is not German, it's French, okay? But they had it there, so she ordered it. Growing up, I always thought, gross, like snails, gross. You know, because you always hear, or I always heard about the French eating escargot and like frogs legs. And it's an actual thing, they do. And I always thought, that's gross, you know? But when I lived in Switzerland, a friend of my ex, he knew where to get really good escargot, and they were huge. Like, they were really, really big. They were privately farmed. He would prepare them in a delicious way. So the first time I had escargot was this way. This garlic butter, this giant snail, and I don't know what it tasted like, but it was very tasty. It mainly tastes of garlic butter. I love garlic. I love butter. And then you've got this like meaty type thing, you know, it doesn't taste like chicken. You know how most things taste like chicken. It doesn't taste like chicken, but I don't know what I would compare it to. You know, it was a snail and it was good. And I ate quite a few, like I couldn't stop eating it because it was very delicious. And then you eat it with bread. You dip the bread into the garlic butter, which you can't go wrong with that. So these snails were a little bit smaller, but it was good. It was a bit more chewy when I had them for the first time, very, very tender. And I never knew what to imagine under escargot. I just knew I'm never going to eat that. You know, never say never once again, because I ate it and it was like surprisingly good, you know. So now when I saw it, I tried it and it was good, you know. Very strange. Very strange being a vegetarian for 25 years and now just eating everything. Like it does weird me out on occasion, especially when I'm asleep, you know, and my husband gets up pretty early. We both get up early, but some days I get up at 6 versus 4, okay? Still early, but my husband might get up at 5. And like this morning, he cooked some ground beef. And I woke up with the smell of that, you know, and it wasn't a pleasant smell. It, like, just ground beef by itself is not a great smell. You know, when you put spices into things, maybe better. But to wake up with that at 6 a.m., okay, not great. But like my life now, very meaty. I never would have thought that, you know. And then just some days I just want a salad. I don't want meat. You know, a lot of the time. Like, so anyway, we had German food. It was very tasty. And I had, it's called a roulade. So in Germany, roulade is a very, very, very thin cut of beef. It's a special preparation of beef. In Germany, the butcher has it available, no problem. But it's very, very, very thin. And you roll it, like you kind of pound it a bit. You fill it with pickles and onions and sliced ham, and you roll it up and you cook it in this kind of beef broth, right? You make the sauce, and the sauce develops as you cook the roulade, and just the flavors, they add up. And it's very, very delicious. And my mom used to make it. I made it in Switzerland for Christmas one year, and it came out delicious. Really, really good. But my mom used to make it. It was one of my favorite things that she made after I started eating meat. Because again, I didn't eat meat for 25 years. So I would smell my mom make it and it smelled very, very good, but I wouldn't eat it, you know? So in Germany, you eat roulade with red cabbage, which is Rotkohl, and then either with mashed potatoes or Spätzle. So Spätzle are these small dumplings. They're kind of mini, mini dumplings and they're just piped out in water and they're boiled, you know. So in Germany, they also have these other dumplings. They're bigger and you just have one. It's like one round dumpling. It's called a Knödel. And there's different kind of Knödels, you know. One is maybe made with potato starch. Another is made with potato and onion. Or you've got all these different kinds that you can buy. You can make them yourself or you can buy them dried and then you just add water, you know. But it's a very traditional thing. Like here, you've got mac and cheese everywhere, you know, and you can buy it with the sauce already done. You just add water, right? So there, it's kind of the same thing, but with Knödel, because anything traditional to that country, you can buy already packaged, right? Somehow. So yeah, so I had roulade at the German place. The kids got schnitzel, which is like a very, very thin pounded veal. So yeah, we did that. And then that was the last night we saw them. And then they left the next day. So I worked as well. You know, I would work. I would see them after. Same with Beth. I would work and then hang out after. You know, so it was just a very, very busy week, pretty much. And then when everyone left, I was just tired. You know, it was nice to come home and not have to do anything. And I just sat there watching TV, right? Netflix. Like, are you into those shows where it says like worst ex-boyfriend ever? Like something like that. It's called Worst Ex-Boyfriend. I get roped into those shows so easily. And it's like these terrible, terrible stories about these men that end up being criminals. And anyway, look it up. It's like crazy. Same with like any of these murder shows that are real, like these documentary style. It's called like American Tragedy, American Story. I don't know. It's like terrible, right? It's about men married and they end up killing their whole family and just like crazy stuff like that. But it's real, you know? So I get roped into these kind of things I'm like, yeah, let me start it. And then I start it, and one thing leads to another, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So, like, this is what I watch to relax on Netflix. Oh my God. Something happened. Positive. Something positive happened. So before, I'm like, oh, positive. Before I left for Aspen, I was thinking, what would I like to do other than being a pastry chef, right? And, you know, I think about this a lot now. I think about, did I make the wrong career choice by going to culinary school? Because my body just aches. I just hurt. Like, you know, I have these back issues. I have to swim every other day to not have back issues because exercise helps. But then if I do too much body pump, I hurt extra from working out. I don't know. I'm trying to find the balance. But I was thinking, like, everything kitchen related, not glamorous. You know, it's not glamorous. You're just lifting heavy things. You're in the hot kitchen. There's a lot of heat, a lot of humidity. It's just not a glamorous place. And I've just been thinking about it more and more. And I was like, did I make the wrong career choice? Like, is any industry glamorous? Not really, right? Like, even acting. If you think about the actual filming process, not glamorous. I mean, you're sitting, you're waiting for the cameras to be ready. There's a lot of downtime. Not glamorous. You know, what we see in an industry that we don't know anything about, very different world, right? So I guess that's the same with any industry, you know? And I guess every industry is hard in its own way, right? The kitchen's the same way, obviously. You know, I keep talking about it. That's all I've got to talk about. Before I left Aspen, I thought, what else would I do if I'm not working at a hotel? You know, because that is the best source of money, you know, really, that is kind of available to me. Even though just the hours you put in, that's the, like, slavery part. So I started thinking, you know, when I taught in Sedona, I was teaching at a community college. I'm like, I was pretty good. You know, I enjoyed it. I even got an award. It was an outstanding adjunct faculty award. I thought, yeah, maybe I'll submit some applications to colleges. So I went on this community college website. It's called San Diego Mesa College. It's called SDCCU, San Diego Community College University. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting those wrong. But anyway, I just know it's SDCCU. So I applied, and online, it wasn't easy to apply. You know, it's like you're just applying. But it said, okay, we have your file. If anything comes up, we'll contact you. I'm like, okay, you know. And at the same time, I applied at other places. So when I moved here, right, I got this teaching job, teaching once a week for $100, which is not what teachers make in culinary field. Like, this was a chef who wanted to open up his own school, and he helps teach students who don't have a lot of money. His program is maybe like $3,000 or $4,000, not a lot. He wanted me to help teach. Okay. So that's what I started doing when I moved here. Last week, that application that I filled out in Aspen, the school finally contacted me, the SDCCU. So this is a legitimate community college. They have 20,000 students. It's a large campus. And I went there yesterday. I drove there, and I had an interview last week, and it went great. It was like the dean of the school interviewed me with the chef of the culinary side, and they were asking me all kinds of questions, and I was telling all kinds of stories, you know. And basically I said, like, right now I'm working at the Hotel Coronado. And they're like, oh, as a pastry chef? I'm like, no, as a pastry cook. And they started laughing. He's like, oh wow, they must be so lucky to have you, you know, having a chef working as a cook. And I explained that I was just burned out. I was just burned out from Aspen. And I just wanted something where I don't work more than 8 hours a day, you know. At the same time, yes, I only make like a low hourly wage. But they were very impressed with my resume. and my stories, and they loved just the whole interview. And they said it would take 30 minutes. It ended up taking like an hour, 15 minutes. Then I got word the next couple of days that I had the position. So it's for an adjunct position, which means it's like a part-time teaching position, right? So the thing with baking is there's no full-time, unfortunately. Baking, you can get your certificate there, or you can be part of an associate's degree, which is a two-year degree, and you can learn culinary, and there's baking in there, you know, in the program. So I would be teaching baking and pastry two times a week. And then based on my education, and I do have an associate's degree, you make an hourly wage. But the wage starts very high, you know. So because I have a degree, because of all my experience, I don't know my exact hourly yet, but it starts at like $80 an hour. And I'm like, what? I've never made this much an hour. So that's great. I wish it was like every day, like 5 days a week. But they don't teach on weekends, obviously, or holidays, you know. So that would be perfect. That would be so perfect. Just like having holidays and weekends off. But it's just 2 days. Okay, so I did get hired. They hired me. I went through all the paperwork and I'm still doing it. I have to get this live scan, which means I have to go this like criminal background check they have to do. I have to do a tuberculosis test, like just all of this paperwork, all these different steps. There's like 10 different steps I have to do. So I'm in the process of doing that. Pretty much these positions are hard to get. Luckily, they saw my resume and they were impressed by it. But the person that's there now in baking and pastry, I don't know his story. They didn't really fill me in, but it sounds like he's about to die. I'm not exaggerating. Okay. The way they made it sound is that any day now, he's not going to make it. Like, it sounds terrible, you know, and I don't want anything terrible to happen to this man. At the same time, I also need to work. So, you know, like it's terrible, but they can't tell me all the details, which, okay, I understand, you know, but they need someone as a backup. So like I would start teaching next semester, which is end of January. But until then, I would fill in, you know, any classes that need filling in if I get the call that he can't make it, right? If he has to go to the hospital or whatever his situation, I don't know. So that's what's happening. So it's positive for me, right? And I saw the facilities yesterday. I was very impressed. The campus is huge. I didn't expect the campus to be this big, you know? So it's Mesa College. So I went on this campus and I saw the whole area of the culinary side, which is beautiful. It's two big classrooms, but the classroom is basically a major kitchen. So they do full butchery. They have this butchery program. They have a gelati program. Like they have these ice cream machines that were made in Italy. You know, they had them made there and then shipped over. So this one chef knows everything about gelato. And this other chef knows everything about butchering. So they order these live animals, dead, obviously. They don't slaughter them. But they order like a full pig, which the chef was saying is $1,000 for a full pig. And it's not a baby, it's a giant pig. Because sometimes you see like hotels, they got like a baby pig. But they have these full pigs and they butcher them and they learn how to butcher. They have a full-on restaurant. So the students prepare everything for the restaurant and then actual guests can come in. And the food is cheap. Okay, like you can have one course for $8. Like everything is like super, super cheap. You know, you've got this pork belly appetizer for $2. You've got a dessert for $3. It said like fig tart with $3. Like just really, really low prices because they're not trying to make a profit. They're just trying to teach the students how it is to work in front of the house and back of the house and a marriage between the two. You know, you always see in these restaurant movies, just these full-on wars between the front of the house and the back of the house. It's because the front of the house doesn't know what's going on in the kitchen, and the kitchen doesn't know what's going out in the front of the house. So I started in the front of the house, so I know everything. And I remember working in the front of the house, looking at the kitchen, being like, what the hell are they doing? Like, what's going on back there? You know, I never thought that I would be in the back of the house. And now I'm just like, oh, now I know both worlds, but I don't want to go back to the front of the house because then you have to deal with customers. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. You know, like, it's weird because, like I said, in Aspen, I was always in the back and I wanted some sort of interaction with the customers. But now I'm doing the farmer's market. I'm interacting with everybody. And let me tell you, people are interesting. Let's just put it that way, right? There's some weird people out there, but there's also some really positive people, you know, and it's interesting just to meet all these different kinds, right? And then you've got these moms who just park in front of the samples and take like a bunch of samples and give them to their kids because it's free. And then there you've got these like perfect kids who are like, mommy, can I try a sample? I'm like, yes, yeah, so you get two just for asking, you know, like, but now I'm dealing with selling and making everything, you know, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of freaking work. So it was interesting going to the campus and seeing all of this. And I would be teaching baking and pastry. So they've got the ice cream machines. They've got this airbrush station all set up where you can put your cake in there and you can just spray. You don't have to cover everything because it's already, there's already a box there where you can like spray it and not make a mess. So yeah, that was really cool. And I talked with the chef and I saw the campus. And so I officially have a teaching job in baking and pastry 2 days a week, but basically teaching 2 days a week for 5 hours, Monday and Tuesday, right? Those would be my days. That's 10 hours total. I almost make the same that I would working at the hotel for 5 days. Jesus, right? So yes, I'm still working at the hotel and obviously I need some source of income, right? So anything is good, but the hotel's a lot of work. I have been making wedding cakes and it's fun. Like I enjoy it just because the chef trusts me, obviously, right? Like I was a pastry chef and I get to do some cool things, you know, but it's a long day. It's even 8 hours just working constantly is a lot of work. And I would say some things are more challenging now than they were as a pastry chef, because now I'm making everything. Whereas as a pastry chef, I would make kind of things I wanted to make, like the VIP things, the specialty things, but there was a lot of office stuff. There was a lot of planning, you know, so some things are actually more challenging as a pastry cook versus the chef. So I don't know. Is there a right side? No, I don't think so. Like everything is just a lot, you know? But what I do like about being a cook is I don't have to deal with other chefs. I don't have to deal with events teams. I don't have to deal with anybody. I just make the things and I leave. I take my breaks even. Like as a chef, you don't really get breaks. You just eat like on the fly. You eat in front of the computer. Normal. I've never had breaks before. And now I get to just go on break in the 30 minutes and be done, you know? So there's pros and cons. And so what I'll probably do is I'll teach for 2 days and hopefully by then I will be able to do some orders for my own business called Sweet Cat, right? So now I have my webpage up and running and now the thing is I have to promote it, right? So I thought the farmer's market would be a good start, but I'm not making more than like $350 every time I go. It's not becoming more money. I'm trying to make things better to make more. Like I got a different transaction machine. It's one that you can add in tips. So people are adding tips, which is super nice because it's like an extra $30, right? That nobody takes fees from because the bank takes fees from everything. But I got a different device. It's easier, less hassle. That cost $300. I got a camping stove to make the food hot. That was $300. Like everything is $300 now. Remember, like, I don't know, in 2010, everything was $100. Well, everything's $300 now. Like, I went to get groceries at Restaurant Depot. you know, like big bags of sugar, big bags of flour, like this big box of butter, which is $107 for 30 pounds. You know, I'm getting like all this stuff and it's good, but just one trip is like $300, $400. Like that's normal. Okay. Now I'm getting these big things of eggs, like 40 eggs, you know, for $30. I'm dealing with more of that stuff and I'm realizing I don't think the farmer's market is worth it for me. Okay. So I want to follow through. I'm going to finish September and then I need to drop off more samples of businesses. So I'm thinking hospitals, like larger businesses where they would purchase items for their staff, you know, maybe once a week or something like that. Because then I don't have any waste, right? Like now I don't know how much people are going to buy. Like I sold out the other day of pretzels. I sold out of vegan banana bread. Like that is my top seller, is vegan banana bread. What the hell? Like, not the donuts. You know, the donuts are great, but people don't know them. So I have a lot of samples, but there's a lot of waste. And I don't know what people are going to get. So that's a good thing about orders. You know, I know what I have to make and I just make it and deliver it and that's done, you know. So the teaching would be in the afternoon from like 2 p.m. to 7. And then in the morning, I could do orders, you know, and hopefully by that point, I don't need to be at the hotel. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it means I'll be at the hotel through Christmas, which I asked the other day in a meeting. I said, what is it like? Do we get any holidays off? You know, normally as a chef, never, right? Never. You don't get holidays off. Are you crazy? Like, why are you asking that? But I've worked at some places where the employees, they might get a holiday. Like you can pick a holiday. Like if you work Christmas, you might get off Thanksgiving, like something like that. But the chef was like, no, you don't get any holidays off. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm just asking. But I do get paid time and a half. So that's a positive, right? If you have to work a holiday anyway to at least get paid more. And then I got this email, random, but basically asking if I would interview this other chef. And I'm not going to reveal the information yet because I don't know if it's like a sure thing. I don't know if this is legitimate or some sort of scam. Like, I don't know. But I think it was someone's, if this is a real thing, you know, someone wanted me to interview this famous chef who has years of experience. He's opened like 20 restaurants. And I'm like, really? Like they want me to interview him? So I'll let you know if it's a real thing in the next, you know, couple weeks. But I'm like, oh, I guess that's positive, right? It's positive for the podcast. So we'll see about that. And I look and I see, oh, I've already been talking for a lot. I had a lot to talk about. So yes, we'll see how everything goes with the farmer's market. But it might be that by the next episode, I think I might stop the farmer's market. Just physically, it's a lot. And I don't get a lot of money out of it. 350 might sound pretty good for like 4 hours, right? The market is only for 4 hours. But you got to think $60, right? $350 subtract 60 for the tent space. You need the food cost, which is about like $60, right? And then you need the kitchen cost, which is about $50. After that, there's not too much money left, okay? And you got to think, it's like all day. I've been doing this since 4 a.m., you know what I mean? So if you think hourly, I mean, I'm not making money here, right? So I think farmer's market might not be the way to go for me, but at least I tried it, right? I have all the equipment. So let's say if there is a catering event or someone you might know or a company that you work at that's in the San Diego area, they might need something for events. I can do it. You know, I have all the equipment. I can deliver it, anything you need. So I'm trying to get that going before like Christmas, you know, so that maybe come Christmas time, I have more orders and things like that versus farmer's market. That's what's been going on. Actually, I totally skipped this whole episode. I didn't realize that I had it on deck. Since then, even my dad visited and my other brother is going to come visit me in a few weeks too. So plenty of visits. Oh, and that interview thing was fake. nothing ended up happening because I emailed back saying, why are you interested in me interviewing this chef? You know, it's not like I'm some celebrity podcast. And then I never heard back. So that's that. And I'm still doing the farmer's market because it started getting cold. And then I actually ended up making more money. And now I'm selling hot chocolate. And next week, I want to do some pies. I also want to focus on pie orders for the holiday season coming up. And put that online as well. So if you would like to pre-order a pie, either pecan, pumpkin, or apple, and you live in the San Diego area, please message me on sweetcatpastries.com. But other than that, thank you for listening to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB, and until next time.